Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, welcome, Dr. Paula Price, to your show once again. How are you this evening?
I am excited about another Tuesday where we get to talk about one of our favorite subjects, which is, of course, you know, our assessments, the organizational assessments of what we're kind of highlighting. So I'm excited about getting along. Now, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, things are happening all at once here with the assessments, the summit. People are excited about the Apostolic Summit, your Executive Apostleship Training Retreat. People are excited about that, signing up for that. So there is not a thing I can complain about right now.
You know, I feel the same way. And frankly, listening to you, I'm enthusiastic all over again. You know, especially, can you believe, we're already in August. In August. Do you know, it was just last Monday. We were in February, and we're now in August.
Just last Monday, huh?
I'm convinced it was only a week ago. I cannot even believe that it is this far into the year. We're coming to the middle of the ninth month of the year, eighth month of the year, coming into the fall. And I'm excited about what God is doing. But I got to tell you, I feel like God's got us on this little hamster wheel. I think he's rushing us on purpose. I don't know what that's all about. But I think that could be a good prayer project. Like, God, why are you rushing us? You know, where are we running to? But nonetheless, November is around the corner. And when November comes, we have our annual Apostolic Summit. Now, which one is it this year, Ashley? Yeah, I ask you this every year. You'd think I'd keep at least a little stroke count, right?
And you think I would, too.
Now, listen, you're the producer. You're supposed to be omniscient. Don't mess with me.
I know. That's so sad. I think it's, is this 13? This might be 13.
Well, you know why? Because we started it, now that you said it, we started our first one in 2000. Boy, we've come a long way from then, haven't we?
Yes, praise the Lord.
Well, anyway, it starts every Wednesday before Thanksgiving. It has been the same week, the same date since the first day we started. It will be here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We have quite a lineup. I want to encourage everyone who's listening here to check out our website and stay with us on it, because we're going to have a couple of specials that you're going to love, especially if you're bringing groups. What we have noticed is that every year more and more leaders are bringing groups. You know, they're kind of reminding me of what you do in business. You know, you want to get a whole group trained, you bring them all at one time, and then you have the group of them bring it back and they inseminate the organization, and boom, we go forward. So we're seeing that happening now with our pastors, senior pastors, apostles, and prophets, and other leaders. So they're doing that. We're getting intercessors groups. We're getting prophetic groups. Of course, we're getting apostolic groups. We're getting other leaders, up-and-coming leaders. I'm excited about that. But we're also getting people who want to understand what God is doing. So it's a great time we have planned. Just want to remind you, keep going. Stay with us. And the dates are, Ashley Crater,
November 21st through the 23rd. And I believe, Dr. Price, there is possibly a competition that I think might be brewing among the leaders about bringing the most people. So that may be something that I think I picked up that was brewing from somebody I talked to about, well, they were coming because they didn't know so-and-so was bringing a group, and so now they're pulling a group together. I said, well, bless God, because, you know, apostles will not be outdone.
But, you know, those real leaders, those frontline leaders, but no matter how we say it, you know, we behave ourselves in church, we behave ourselves in prayer at the throne. But when it goes out, when it comes time for us to go out and do for the kingdom, we can be a little bit aggressive, quite ambitious, and definitely somewhat competitive. And that's okay, because guess what? We're competing with darkness for the souls of the light. So that is a good thing. I would keep me posted. I'd like to see how that thing works out. I think it's going to be exciting. You know, I like a challenge. I think strong people have to do strong things. That's what happens when you're strong. So keep me posted. How about this? What I'm doing the end of September, I want to take a minute to tell you a little bit about that before we get into the meat of tonight's show. Now, I'm excited about the show, too, because we got a lot to be really upbeat about. We have a couple of guests coming on. We have, of course, we have our advisor prophets. And we have, you know, you all probably didn't know it. We have three advisor prophets and one advisor apostle whom you haven't heard from. But that's because, you know, she's the newest on the team. We're in the middle, from what I understand, we're training up by getting about three or four more ready to come on board. So you're going to hear quite a bit from that, from those people as they come on board and get into the program. But we do have our normal team, and we've enlarged our team by our newest advisor apostle. So just to let you know, that's what it is. And before I get into that, I want to talk to you about September 24th to the 28th here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm having a closed session training for high-level leaders. I call it Executive Apostolic Retreat Training, and it is a retreat. And it's for, now listen, it's by invitation only, but it's not going to be a crowd. I feel good about that because when you want to train and develop high leaders, thinkers, and even the up-and-coming ones, those that are transitioning, those that are promoting into a higher position in God, you don't need a crowd because you want to be able to work through and work in them what it is you want done. So we've been getting favorable response for that. That's September 24th to the 28th. If you're interested, go to my website. We're talking about it. If you'd like us to consider you for attendance, but you have to be serious. Okay, this is not a looky-loo thing. This is not come, let me share my testimony. This is not come, let's see who's, this is come, work up, roll up your sleeves, and let's dig into kingdom business with the king. That's very intense. These are very intense sessions. And when you're done, I promise you, they will change you from the inside out, revolutionize how you do ministry, how you view kingdom, and how you interrelate as well as interact with the Holy Spirit. So I want to say to you, those of you who are interested, you say, well, gee, that sounds like me. That sounds like something that God has been talking to me about. Hey, let me know. But it's not for newcomers, not for novices, not for folk who just, you know, I'm trying to find my place. This is for those who are ready to move forward and take territory and dominion and possession and lives and souls for the king. So this is very powerful. We're going to be talking about it over the next couple of weeks. Again, if you're an apostle, if you're a prophet, if you're an apostolic leader of any kind, if you're a prophetic leader of any kind, then we need you to reach out, call us, let me know. We'll talk to you about whether or not you can do it because it is intense. Now, I'll tell you why I'm doing it like this because, you know, the church is used to everything being like a free-for-all. You know, oftentimes I think the church is like the mother that's scared of one kid being upset because the other kid had a birthday party. You know, we used to have those situations when my kids were growing up. And so you just kind of celebrate all the kids and you give everybody the same, whether they need it or not, want it or not, can appreciate it. This is not that for me. This is God saying what I want to say. I want to say to folks who are, number one, on my team, on my side, but working on my mind and in allegiance and agreement with my ways. That's what an apostle and a prophet is supposed to do. That's what distinguishes those two offices, that they have that up close and personal apostles, even firsthand encounter and exposure to Jesus Christ enough to replicate his mind and disseminate his will and his thoughts in their generation. But, you know, that's not a magic trick. We've been teaching the church that that's magic. You know, you just go home and you bask in the glory and you soak and we don't even know what, and you lay out before the Lord and you play some nice slow music and you worship the Lord until it falls on you. That's not it. Even if it pumps up in your spirit, it has to work through your soul. And in order to work through your soul, it's got to go through the physiological creation that God has. It's got to go through that emotion. It's got to train all the other parts of you that have to handle it. We know a lot of things by the Spirit that we cannot articulate in our intelligence, that we cannot act on intelligently, that we can barely discern emotionally. Why? Because no matter what, line upon line, precept upon precept is what God said we needed. Here a little and there a little. In other words, it's a process. So this is a very intense process set of meetings, and as I said, that for people who already know, God is calling me to do a new thing. He's calling me to be a part of the new thing. So what we want to do is we want to get that kind of person in the room with us. The classes are not going to be large. I'm telling you, they're purposely slow. They're purposely low, rather, so that we can think, hear each other's mind, dig into Christ, dig into his mind, dig into the issues, et cetera, et cetera. So that is why it is not a corporate-wide thing, because some information doesn't belong on a public platform. Sometimes we need to just work it out with the colonels, and then we go and throw them out and get the crop. So that's what we're going to do. Now, how did I cover my bases on that, Ashley? I think I did.
You handled it well.
All right. You know, sometimes you got to help me. I get excited, you know, and it doesn't take much, because when I'm doing things for the king, I bubble. I just bubble because the man just means all that to me. I'm so proud of Jesus Christ, I don't know what to do. I'll tell you the truth. I tell him every day, I'm just proud of you, Lord, because I'm telling you, anybody who can do what he does and keep doing it day in and day out, life in and life out, no matter what goes on, he keeps going on a plan. That's a role model if ever I've seen one, you know, and a mentor. God stays on point. He's like, I started it this way because I'm pursuing that outcome, and so I'm staying on course until I finish what I want. If I had to give anybody any encouragement tonight before we start talking on our subject, one of the things I would have to say is the Lord doesn't get off course because he knows what he's pursuing. That doesn't mean that he has not workarounds. We all have workarounds. Doesn't mean we don't have setbacks yet. When we have setbacks, that means we just need to get up and push forward. But I'm saying to you, in all of the things that I've learned, not only in my own life, having to work this thing pretty much in a cave, most of the time, most of the 30 years I've been doing it, realizing God wins because he pursues his predetermined end. God already knows how he wants to end. An end is getting what he wants and getting it the way he wants it. That means that he's got to regroup while regroup. But I'm not getting off course. If we, you know, if we were like that as humans, I think about those early apostles. Those people had an end in mind, and that is what they pursued. And I thought God could use a lot of that today. He could use a lot of people like that today who just say, I'm in it to complete it, not just to win. But I'm in it to finish what he started. Jesus said about God, he said, my meat is to do his will and to finish his work. And that's something that God wants us to start thinking about in this era of the church, in this time of his movement. So I wanted to get that out there. I thought that was really great. Now, Ashley, again, now you have to keep me on point here because we have a guest coming on at 9 o'clock that I want to talk about, because we've been talking about the organizational assessment. And the reason that we keep talking about them every week is because they're new. And everything new has got to be repeated and reiterated, and it's got to be explained. You know, people have a lot of things thrown at them day after day. I mean, you're bombarded. You can ride down your highway and see billboard after billboard, signage after signage, about what's going on and something new for you to think about or try. You turn on your internet, you get on your email. I think to myself when I go on the AOL, I think, boy, they're going to get a lot of employees in trouble. You can't get off them without you get a video, you get a picture, you got this, you got that. Why? Because in order for something to catch on, it has to be constantly reinforced and reiterated. But in our case, we go even deeper than that. We do this so that people will understand what God is doing. We've been saying for decades, God is doing a new thing. We've been saying the old way is no more. We've been saying that what used to be is gone, and that God needs to have accountability. But many, many, many members of the body of Christ have been disturbed with the lack of accountability, the lack of capability in the church, particularly in God's ministry teams. They've been, you know, very much bothered by that. We're talking about training where we want to get somebody, you know, a weekend's training and tell them to go and build this global ministry or to put them over somebody's life and et cetera. Why? Because we haven't had standards and we haven't had uniformity. And the two things that we need today is that we need uniformity and we need standards. And we need to know what's good, why good is good, and why evil is evil or bad is bad. What makes for effectiveness versus ineffectiveness. And it can no longer be a matter of personal reaction, emotional response. That just won't cut it. You can't measure it. You can't replicate it. You realize that you can do the same thing, brush your teeth every day, and you can do it the exact same way. But you know what? You can't measure emotionally what you feel. All you know is every day I have to clean my teeth. You don't know the day I woke up with a headache. I had a bad dream. I have a crisis. I'm going to face a loss. I'm going to get a win. I'm going to pick up a car. I'm going to move out of a house. It doesn't matter. All of those emotional things have nothing to do with it. We have to take your word for it that while you brushed your teeth on one day, you had one emotional state, and then when you did it another day, you were in a different emotional state. That's the unreliability of our feelings and sentiments. They have a place. They're needed. God needs them. We gave them to us for a reason, but we have to start respecting now, I think, the hierarchy of God's creation and knowing to do what occasions call for and ceasing to lump everything in one basket. So that is what we did. We started doing the organizational assessments after we had pretty much refined the individual ones, and we found out that if we could be helpful and effective to an individual, giving them their calling, we call them a destiny book or a life book, we could tell them what God made them for and what they're supposed to do with it and where they are in the journey and how much education they need and how much training they need. We already said that for the individual, and we sat down and we thought, gee, wouldn't it be great to do that for groups? What if we had a group of people? And I actually started it because I had begun a prophetic company that I was first grooming as a group of intercessors and later to be developed into a prophetic company. So I thought, gee, now I know what they do individually. I know where they fall individually. But what about that group dynamic? What are they like when we put them together? What kind of synergy are we going to have there? And who's the strength and who isn't the strength and all of that? You know, we have a situation often that I get when I'm on the road and that people meet my team. They like, well, I want your team or I want this person. And they learned early, the team, we've been together 13 years, I guess, 10 years, I don't know. We've been together, Ashley will tell me later. But I know it's been over 10 years. And this has been one group that's been one and the same over 10 years. That is an amazing accomplishment. And we've learned a lot about each other. We work well together, you know, and all of those things that comes from just being together and working together every day. My team will often say, yeah, but, you know, I need the rest of my group. So you take one out, that alters the entire performance. Now, if that person was a great performer, that alteration is negative, okay? You're going to lose a strength. If that person was not so strong but still effective, well, it could be better, maybe not. But you as a leader, those of you who are leaders and those of you who are part of groups, it would be great to know where you fit and how effective you are and what you bring. That is what these organizational assessments do. They tell you what each person, each member of your team brings to the whole. Because when it's all said and done, we still, as human beings on this planet, work as a whole. I always think about that when I think, well, you know, the Godhead said we need at least three. We've got Father, we've got Son, we've got Holy Spirit. They've got very distinct roles, very distinct. But even though they're one and the same, but their oneness is not just their divine nature. Their oneness is that they agree 100%. But they each approach whatever it is that God the Father started differently, and yet synergistically, they work the same. And so God wants us to know that there's no such thing as an island here. We're not going to get anything done by ourselves. No single person is ever going to get anything worthwhile done alone. Even if you say, I'm going to my house and I'm going to turn off my phone and I'm not coming out for a week and I'm going to stay home and just be by myself, that is only part of the story. You need the house to be there. You need the utility company to keep the utilities on. You need the people who did the appliances to see to it that the radio you're going to listen to or the television you're going to watch works. There is no such thing as doing it alone. We may not know who's done it. We may actually be unaware of the faceless dozens and dozens of people that make our life work, but it still is a group of people making one thing work. And so when we think of your organizations, you realize you cannot get it done alone. Even if you have this favorite worker, you still need a group to get it done. That worker still needs a team, and then that team needs a larger force, and on it goes. So that is what we did when we thought about the organizational assessments. We said, wow, wouldn't it be great if leaders could know what they're working with, understand their people, understand what their strengths are, what their threats are, and then have some sort of a plan to help them strengthen their people enough and get them on point with that vision. And what if you did it beyond prophecy? What if you did it beyond prayer and intercession and beyond fasting, beyond all of those ethereal things that we do? They are effective. They are useful. We need them, but they still don't make happen in this world what you want. And wouldn't it be wonderful if a leader, a pastor, a evangelist, any five-folder in leadership, what if you sat down and you went through a pile and you said, okay, what do we have here? And you got a portrait of your people. That would be awesome. And it wouldn't be just a portrait. You know, we've done these things for a while, and you'll hear a little later in the program that this is not us tooting our own horn. We're presenting and explaining what we've done, but we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who have told us this thing is effective, that it's successful. We've got leaders who are saying, oh, no, it's mandatory for us now. This has to be. Why? Because when it's said and done, you know, it's great to know that you can put a bicycle together without the instructions, but it feels good to know that you can do it without the instructions, and the instructions are sitting on the bed so that if you miss anything, it's there. You've got hard data, hard information. So that is what we're doing with these Tuesday nights, wanting you to hear the various aspects of it, the different pieces of the assessment. We've been talking about over the last several weeks the compass, when we talked about every organization who gets an assessment and you get your once part of that group compilation and that aggregate of results, you get what we call a compass, which tells you the mantle type on your particular organization, which ideally correlates with the mantle of the founder or the leader. Now, we have found in our assessment that didn't always happen. And sometimes the mantle on the leader is very different from the mantle on the leadership. And so that's important. It identifies divine purpose and also your unique stream of ministerial service. We may all be evangelical, or we may all be apostolic or prophetic or teaching. That may be true, but we're all different levels. And we all handle different aspects of those broad spheres. And so we can actually focalize, and some of us even specialize, what we do in God's ministry and train our people to do the same thing. We talk about mantle types and the office objectives and also the innate capabilities of the leadership as a whole, as one. You know, people are different in a group than they are individually, because obviously all of the other personalities and the other dynamics draw things out of you or provoke things that are not necessary when you're alone or with one or two people. We talk about how your church's mantle operates, how it manifests, the actions that it is going to be most effective with. And here's a good part. This is very good. This compass will also tell you the effects of your ministry on others. You should know what it is. You know, we come up with good ideas. I mean, leaders, we've all done it. Leaders go to these meetings, and it's great. I mean, especially if you have a particularly charismatic speaker who is quite persuaded, they've been very successful, you're awed by their achievements, you're awed by their success, and even people's response to them. And so you say, I want that. That is us. I'm taking this back to my church. You buy everything off the table. Nothing's wrong with that, except you haven't examined whether or not it fits your group. And so, you can get it, and enthusiasm will take any new idea a long way. But when that enthusiasm wanes, and there's nothing propping it up but sheer zeal, when all of the euphoria is gone, now you have to get down to the nuts and bolts of life and making this thing work. That could take a couple of months. It can take a couple of years. But you should know whether or not the effects results as well as influence that the person that you admire is getting are the same as yours. Are they the same? You don't know that. You don't know if your people are going to agree with that or not. You should know what works. I sat down with a colleague a few years back, and he and I were just sharing thoughts and exchanging notes on different, you know, different trends and methods and approaches to, you know, grow this, you know, stability, monetizing your ministry, and also even dealing with your people. And he and I said almost at the same time, but that's not the warfare I have, and that's not the opposition that I have. We don't all have the same opposition. We don't all have the same warfare. We don't all get hit in the same area. There are people who, you know, get hit in their body and can make money in their sleep. There are people who you can't even, a cold has never touched them, and yet they can't turn a dollar. There are people who can build and never get tired. There are other people who can't even put together what the word build means. That we're different, and we're different for a reason, because we're built to have different purposes and different functions in the Lord. So when you go and do these things, you should know that. One good thing our assessments do is they give you that. You can take this assessment, give it to your group. You get your profile, you get your synopsis, you get your proposal, you get your training tool. Comes with a lot of things. It's a very rich passage. Comes with all of those things. You can sit down, learn your people, go to your next major event, listen to that. You can take what's good, take what fits you, and you can come and say, you know what? But when I look at my group, I realize this won't work with my group. Now, that doesn't discredit what this brother or sister is saying or doing. I'm saying this won't fit my group. You know, it's kind of like you go and, you know, you have a friend who has a 4,000 square foot house and you've got like maybe a 1,900 or 1,200, 1,700 square foot house, and you want to put this, both of you want a baby grand. One of us are not going to get it in the door. That doesn't discredit one or the other. So you have to know what you're working with, and that is what our organizational assessments do. They tell you again and again, repeatedly, what you're working with, the types of people that gravitate toward you, the skill levels and the knowledge levels that you attract and retain, because sometimes you'll get a certain type of people because they are initially drawn to you and impressed by you. But when all of the things that made you who you are start coming into play and coming into their lives to develop them so that they are conformed to what God gave you to do, hey, they may float away. What if we could tell you that? What if we could tell you that this person has issues with responsibility? What if we could tell you that this person has issues with spiritual purity? Or how about this? You want to have a Sunday school teacher, and our results say that you have, this person has a problem rightly dividing the word of truth. You would like to know that coming out the gate. Those are some of the things that we can give you about your people. We can tell you that this person is going to drop out every sixth task. Up to six, you're going to get them fine, but on that, after that 6 months, they're done. They're either distracted, family issues are going to take over, boredom, frustration, confusion, or just plain old disinterest. They just fall out of interest in it. You can know that. We can use that information to the glory of God. We can say, you know what? I will not put more on you than you can bear. We say that about God, that we as leaders sometimes put more on people than they can bear. Why do we do that? Because, A, we need them, and, B, we have no way of gauging their stress points. Therefore, we're surprised when they collapse. Or some people, many saints, before they collapse, they'll just leave you and never tell you why. So what if we can now also meter out the burdens that we put on people in a way that keeps them strong and keeps them effective, and I like to think, most importantly, that keeps them with us. We'll talk about your mantle's jurisdiction. Some people, they work well in this area, and they don't work so well in another area. There are some churches, they are ideal for inner city. Other churches, oh, no, can't make it. There are other churches that are ideal near college campuses or other groups. Wonderful. You should know that so that you can start making decisions that are focused and that are literally targeted to what God sent you to do. We all get vision from the Lord. But, you know, God will give you vision. You know, first of all, that's how God uses anything that's efficient. He likes efficiency. So God will give you vision. But but this is what I want you to know. It still takes you to sit down and sketch out that blueprint and fill it in so that it becomes a structure, so that it ceases to be the word of the Lord on your mind, on your life, and the idea of that word in your head, and it becomes the hands and feet of the bodies that make it happen. So we can tell you where you fit, and then we can talk about the most compatible place you should be. You know, again, there are times that, you know, you move. We had a situation when we moved here in Tulsa. We found we had to stay in one particular area. Any other, when we got out of that geographic area, it didn't work for us. Well, you have to know that. And most people, you know this instinctually. You know, very little of what we have presented to the leaders of the organizations that have taken this took the leader by surprise. Very little of it did. Most of those leaders knew their people. I always say shepherds know their sheep because they do. I mean, even a bad shepherd will know their sheep because you deal with people every day, you begin to learn them. So that's why we're doing this. And the compass is just one part of it, but it does give you the overall gist of what you can get. So as we go forward, I want to talk a little bit, just a little bit, about why this is important. You know, I mentioned earlier that there's so much unrest and so much disturbance about the lack of credibility in the church. Credibility, powerful, powerful word, credibility. Now, we say it because, you know, the public in general, they are good at buzzwords. You say a buzzword that they like, that thing will just, you know, spread like wildfire. Very few people know what it means. Very few people know what they're saying when they say credibility. As a point, in fact, when you start talking about credibility, most people don't realize it comes from credence, which comes from creed. And it comes from when one thinks about the word credibility, that's what we get credential from. So we've got credential, which is to give us credibility. Why? So it demonstrates our credence. Why do we do it? Because we want to be taken seriously. Why do you go through the problem of having credentials anyway? You know, the typical, you know, non-denom independent church pretty much scoffs at them. We don't really need that. That's what they do when they're a denomination. We don't need that, et cetera. And that's a whole other discussion. One day I'm going to have that discussion. It won't be this one. But there is something about being able to say something where a credible group that's been around, that's known for success and known for effectiveness and known for excellence and even safeguards, saying this person is reputable, this person is responsible. And word of mouth is just not enough. We've had word of mouth, and it didn't work. But you can add word of mouth to word of mouth, which is important, but you can add to that other things as an organization. Word of mouth is good for individuals, but when you want to talk about an organization, you still need an organization to say this one is safe or this one is good or this leader is worthwhile. You still need that, and in order for that to happen, we must have some things called standards and criteria and measurements, ways to say it. For example, when someone tells you, boy, this brother is, I mean, he is anointed. He is, I mean, amazing. I'm telling you, bring down the house. When you ask questions beyond that emotional response and you say something like, but what made him amazing? Well, it was, I mean, it was how he spoke the word. How did he speak the word? Now, some of us don't want to go that deep, but realize that we put people up on a single trial sermon. I'm telling you, we will give most churches give people ordination papers and preaching license for one sermon. You don't know where they live. You don't know if they're living with a girlfriend or a boyfriend. You don't know if they have a string of children that are not being taken care of. You don't know if they finished high school. You don't know if they can hold down a job. You don't know if they have any criminal. We know nothing, and we don't care. We know. I don't care what you say. I know how they feel. I know how they make me feel. And that is what people are frustrated with today. People want credibility, and credibility, believe it or not, certifies trustworthiness, reliability, and authority integrity, standing in one's community or in one's college of peers, sincerity and believability. We want people that we can trust, that we can rely on, that we feel are whole and sound, that are well functioning outside of that performance mode, that 45-minute sermon, people who are sincere and genuine, and people who give us not just seducibility, because a lot of times we are seduced and we call that belief, but who are really believable. People who say, yeah, this you can count on. You can take this with you. And that's what credence does. Credence says that, and credence is a root of credibility. I want to talk about that just a little bit more. I'm almost done because I'm excited about what we have planned for tonight, but I wanted to just give this. So out of credence, we get our word credential. And that means the word credential stems from the word credence. Listen to this. It refers to credit, faith, and confidence. Credence is a firm belief as to the truth of something. It gives a reason for its claim that something or someone is to be believed and trusted. Credibility comes from the word credence. Now, credence, you know, of course, when we say credibility or credentials, we think about, okay, well, what are my credentials? Well, I have a certificate, I have a license, I have a degree, I have a diploma, I have a permit. Those are all instruments of credence. Your state requires you to get a driver's license. That is to say that they trust you to handle a motor vehicle well, but they didn't just take you at your word. They put you through a process, you know? And so when they start having a lot of accidents in a given state, they go back to how they are credentialing you, how they are certifying you. How are we certifying these people? What are we overlooking? What are we not seeing that we need to see to bring down this error rate, to bring down the accidents, to bring down the mishaps? Companies do it all the time. And we examine ourselves for that. But we do it according to standards. We only want 98%. We want 98% accuracy. That means we only want 2% error. What do you do to secure those numbers to meet that quota? And what will you do when you end up finding out you have 4% error every day and it's creeping to 5? Well, what's going to alert you that you have it, and then what's going to tell you how to handle it? And those are some of the things that we do. And so credentials, which comes from credence, say that something is believable as it's claimed and that it can perform and deliver as it claims. We take people at their word. We put credence in people's word, whether we just met them or whether we knew them for 15 years. But if they cover academic degrees, and they often, listen, credentials are often used in determining hiring or promotion policies. Well, we have to have some policies in order to do that. Now, I'm going to end it on this because I think that the point is made, and that is that God wants us to go back to being able to say why we do or did what we did. Why would an organization put themselves through the process? Why would an organization want to be certified, want to be accredited, want to be credentialed, want to be known as one who is moving forward or who attracts the best leaders or who does the very best they can? That doesn't mean that the best, my best and your best are equal, because our calls may not be equal. Our requirements and responsibilities may not be equal. And likewise, our giftings or our talents and attributes may not be equal. But within the scope of who and what we are and why God sent us, we still need to strive to not only be the best, but to make sure that we deliver to God's people and God's communities the best, because that's what we address. We don't just deal with people. We deal with his people. We deal with his communities. We deal with his property. But we also deal with his reputation. And that's the part that's suffering right now. The Lord's reputation is suffering. So why do we do it? Number one, we do it to be taken seriously. If you are serious about what you're doing, then you want to make sure that you've done it right and that you yield the fruit that you are going after. We do it because we believe in what we're doing. You know, people who don't really believe in what they're doing don't really care about the public's response to them or the effects of what they get done. Because when you believe in what you're doing, you want to make sure that it is as good to others as you believe it to be or have experienced it with you. When you choose a leader and you say, you know what, this person has prayed me through, this leader has helped me build my work, this leader has helped me with my staff, I can vouch for it, because that's what credentials do. We're vouching for you. We're vouching that this person is as good as we say. If you, you know, if you want to do that, that's what people call certifying or bearing witness. Scripture calls it bearing witness. They just saying, well, prove to us. What are your measurements? Well, I was bleeding out, you know, 25 people a month. We're down to increasing it. We're keeping the original 25, and we're increasing them just because of what this person implemented. That's tangible. Not, well, I tell you what, when my heart was broken, it just made me feel better. That's wonderful, but that's not tangible. And God wants us to measure ourselves as well with the tangible as with the intangible, and vice versa. So you want to, you believe in what you're doing. You also want to be reputable. Credible means you want to be reputable. You want people to speak well of you, because that without goodwill, you're suffering under ill will, and ill will destroy you. And then I want to make this last statement. You want to protect and prosper the public. You know, when I talk to people over and over and over again, I keep waiting for somebody to say, we have to be responsible for God's people. And what I hear more often than not is not us being responsible, but us having our right, our privilege, and opportunities to ply our craft, work our ministry, to be accepted because of what God did with us in private and in secret. It doesn't make a difference that we can't prove it or demonstrate it. We want everybody to take our word for it, that God, if God did it in secret, that's all we know. But when I look at the scripture, I look at Paul. Paul had nothing but 100% secret encounters with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody knew it. I mean, come on, he wasn't even with the original 12. God derails his career, knocks him off of his horse, sends him home to sit alone blind. All he can see is Jesus. And he begins to convert this man. Now, Paul's conversion was as dramatic as they come. And yet, when he finally was released by God, he still had to go to God's certifiable leaders. And those leaders had to say, yes, he's had a true conversion. Yes, this is truly the word of God. Yes, he is preaching the same gospel that we got from Jesus when he was on the earth. And yes, he's changed. And they, based on that, they gave him the right hand of fellowship, which was a seal of approval, and they said, this man is trustworthy, and truly he is out for the Lord's good and in the Lord's interest, and he is also has a heart and a concern for the Lord's people, his sheep. We don't have that today. We just, you know, I was looking at on Facebook today, and somebody talking about we're gonna certify you to from premarital counseling in 3 days. Well, you don't care about somebody's marriage if you think it only takes 3 days for somebody to learn how to help people discover the success and the stress points of a future marriage. I mean, that's how little we think of what God is doing, and that is how little we think of people's success and longevity in God's success pool. We don't think about that much at all. When we think about our credentials, just as a wrap up, they are to provide the basis of a belief and confidence and credit. That's not the only thing. You still need your instinct. You still need prayer. You will still need revelation of the Holy Ghost. You will still need the corroboration of other peers and other colleagues. But all of this coming together increase the odds of us succeeding and God's people being protected and sharpened and prospered in his kingdom. And so they evidence your competence. And as your driver's license, your identity and competence. They tell, great credentials will tell you the level of privileges a person should have. You know, you want to make somebody the head of your board, and maybe they're probably not even ready to be on your team. Now, these are my last two statements. Credentials add weight to a professional expert's reputation and capabilities. They enable professionals' accomplishments and expertise to be seen as credible. In other words, we like to say that a person's gift makes room for them. And we kind of think of that as, well, I'll just bring a present. Well, you know, when you look at that and the way we teach it, to be honest with you, the way we teach it, we imply that it's bribery that gets people indoors. But that's not what that scripture meant. That scripture meant what it meant, what it said. First of all, for you to gain access to a great person, you got to have a really great gift. And the greater your gift has got to be equal to their greatness. That's number one. But number two, in order for them to do that, somebody down that line, down that leader's line, has got to have seen you work. Barnabas heard Paul preach. He saw Paul be used in Jesus Christ, and he took Paul to the apostles. Any other way, they weren't going to get close to them. Those guys' lives were on the line. They were busy. They were crowded. So they trusted Barnabas to break rank and bring Paul in. So the gift that they were talking about still had to be a demonstration of talent, skills, knowledge, expertise, and overall preparedness to do what it is you're claiming you are called of God to do. So anyway, that was my statement for tonight. I suppose, Ashley, you're still there?
I'm still here.
You get your 30 minutes, seconds.
Well, the part of the assessments when you were talking about the development and training, because of the way you have outlined the categories that either need a high, medium, or low development priority, that puts into perspective for people why the training process takes the time it takes. So you, at the end of this assessment, you're not going to walk away thinking you should have this in 12 months, especially if you have a lot of high priorities or a lot of concerns or things that you do not know or have under your belt the way you think you do. So what I appreciate about the results that the people and the leaders can walk away with is knowing why, Jane needs 12 months of preparation before she can get into her training track, and why Sam can just jump right in to his training track, because it's outlined in black and white letters, and it's very specific. So if Jane has a lot of Bible things that she needs to work on, whereas he's ready to go, because even the areas that Sam needs to work on, he is fairly strong in them and will benefit from the pressure of the training program, where Jane will crumble. Because her results show that she does not have the infrastructure set up yet to be successful under the full weight of the training program. And you were talking about, when you said it, the 3 days and you're ready to counsel somebody in marriage, I'm thinking, my God, today, that's scary. But to be trained in 3 days to do anything that involves handling people's lives is just not acceptable. I mean, a retail job, you have 3 days of training just to learn the register. And that's not somebody's life. That's just cash, credit, check, reimbursement. The basics of just transaction take 2 days for sure to learn how to do. So there's no way you can convince me that it would take 3 days or less or 3 weekends to be able to handle any kind of thing, especially as complex as a marriage, in somebody else's life. And so, again, referring back to the results, that's why I appreciate how they're laid out and why these leaders can rest in knowing that the complexity of the assessments are to ensure accurate placement and accurate training so that we can stop repeating the cycles that we are breaking. I mean, this is what we're breaking from with these assessments, is breaking the cycle, and not just breaking the cycle and fussing and fuming and complaining and I'm going to take my money and start my own thing. That's how we got here in the first place. I'm just going to do this because this is getting on my nerves, without having a system in place to see to it that we don't end up there all over again with just a different title, a different name. Okay, so we're not pastors and teachers. Now we're apostles and prophets. And we still have some of the same hot mess going around that we left the other churches for, because we did not ensure a system to not just guarantee, but also identify the issues from our pet peeves. And so I like it.
So Ashley, you paid attention, huh?
I was listening.
Yes, you were, and yes, your points are well taken. Now, I know that we have to be a right on 9 o'clock guest because we have. Tell us a little bit about our. Well, wait a minute. I think we have Prophet D on the line. We'll let her talk about our guest that's coming on at 9 o'clock. How's that?
Sounds perfect. She is
on
the line.
Come on. Come off of mute now. Come on, hit that mute button.
Prophet Adia, why don't you tell us about our 9 o'clock guest that'll be coming on, since he's your watch care there.
Definitely. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes,
now we can.
Oh, okay. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, tonight we have Apostle Mark Kelly of Perfecting the Saints House of Prayer in Indianapolis. He and his wife, Prophet Shalonda Kelly, just did an organizational assessment for 13 of their top people, their leaders, and some specific volunteers in their ministry so that they could get a better view of how God was working with their team, how prepared their team really was to handle the demands of the ministry, to get an idea of what type of church they were and what type of mantle they were replicating in their people so that they could craft vision even for where to take the church, where to take the ministry, what types of programs they would need, what their people and their leaders would be equipped to teach and to impart into the congregation. Just a lot of those different aspects that the organizational assessments give you, they were able to get a full portrait of their team, and they just did that process. And Apostle Mark Kelly is going to be talking with us tonight and sharing his experience with that and how he benefited from doing a full organizational assessment, the changes that it has brought to his ministry and to even how he and his wife have approached training their leaders. So a really powerful testimony coming forward tonight at 9.
Yes, and so I'm looking forward to it. Now, how did you feel doing this group? I mean, it had to be a little bit different for you than doing the individuals, right?
Oh, definitely, definitely. You know, when you're doing when you're sitting down with a group, and I, you know, Dr. Price, learned from you and just observing your ability to break down for them the totality of what their group results meant as a whole. You know, when you're looking at the individual, you're just dealing with that one person's approach to ministry and approach to their calling. But when you're doing that organizational, you're looking at the compilation of everyone's results and what that says about the church as a whole and what the church can accomplish. So it's very different, and it's an amazing experience to sit through or to sit on one of those calls to hear how just taking different angles and views of that group's reports can really help a ministry plan and sit down and actually think through their vision and how they're going to get it accomplished. So, yes, I would say it was really different to see that as a whole rather than just dealing with one person's contribution.
Yeah, I think so, too. I did. And you, now, listen, Tyler, are you on? You know, I have to ask because, you know, we all get stuck on that mute button. Prophet Tyler.
Yes, I am. I am. I had to jump through a few hoops to get the mute button off, but nonetheless.
Nonetheless. One day we're going to fix that button, and it's going to obey us when we think we're ready to speak. How's that?
Right. Yes, ma'am.
Well, listen, we have a few minutes before we bring on our guest, and we have to be right on it because he's on a very tight schedule. But you know, we were both dealing with the Kellys and that wonderful church. What are some of the things that stood out for you about the group assessment that we conducted that morning?
Well, I think what stood out to me was, you know, I think clearly the direction and the clarity, and even I would say the fresh perspective that they were able to receive from their assessment results.
I think that that, you know, really touched them. And it was great to see from, you know, from our perspective, you know, when you're investing in something like this and it was an investment for them, and I think they can say now, and when they get on the call, we'll hear it, a positive investment for them. But when you're doing that, you are a little skeptical and concerned as to what am I really going to get? Is this really going to help me? How is it going to play out? Because, you know, it is a different process for us to go through as the church to handling these things. And so I think that what I enjoyed was watching the responses and the reactions of the client, really being able to say, wow, I've received something that's giving me, you know, new clarity, new direction, new insight, things I haven't, you know, thought of before, and even a refreshing, a renewal of the vision and a renewal of their passion about their vision on their house. And so I think that that's kind of what touched me the most, and to see how accurate and intricate, you know, the assessment really just got into the nitty-gritty of where they were and what they needed to accomplish for their ministry and for each individual person that was going to work with them and their leadership team and building this. I enjoy seeing that, and I just love it because people, you know, they get surprised. And I think that in this case, we over-delivered because it was a little skepticism about, okay, is this going to be effective? Did we make the right investment? Is this going to help us really get what we're looking for? And I think that I loved being on that call because I think we over-delivered just a little bit on that, you know. And they were able to say, yes, we have the roadmap for where we want to go and how we want to press on and then to a certain degree start again, you know, start afresh or anew.
I think we kind of, I know we certainly exceeded their expectations. I feel it's safe to make that statement. And in a few moments, we're going to hear Apostle Mark tell us that. First of all, he's a very, very brilliant man. I mean, you know, I'm always impressed with God because, you know, when you look at television and you, whatever, they keep showing us these kind of, you know, dumb shuffling, you know, preachers that can't say two things straight. But I'm excited to see that is, you know, that's Hollywood stereotype, because God, as we found out from these assessments, God has brilliant people. And how about this? He picks brilliant people to do his job, just like he picked a brilliant Paul, a brilliant Peter and the 12. Those people were very intelligent folk. And so that's the thing that I was impressed with, and I'm always impressed with, the brilliance of the people that take this assessment. And, you know, many of them have very, very, prestigious positions, whether it's in ministry or whether it's in, in the marketplace. But that's what I thought, and you know, how quickly he and his wife grasped it. And as you said, they took it seriously. You know, they are, because this is a document that you want to work with. You don't want to just look at it, put it in the bottom drawer, and say, well, you know, in a couple of years, we'll see how it all shakes out. These people were serious. And again, when you make that kind of investment, you need to be serious. But I noticed that the body of Christ today is extremely serious about having, not only giving God the best and making sure they choose the best, but also making sure that they are doing the best for his people, that these people are in the right place, that they're getting the right development, that they're coming into their own. And again, I want to go back, that we're not overloading them. You know, we're not overloading them any longer to say, well, you know, this is what I need you to do, so seek the Lord for the strength and go get some grace and, you know, pray for some. You know, we're not doing that any longer. We're realizing that people work best in their place. So I'm excited about that. And so, Ashley, we're coming up on the time, aren't we?
We are, and I will receive notification from him when he's on the line.
Great.
And I have not gotten that yet, so I will be able to give you the exact moment.
Oh, I'm glad. Well, I'll trust you. I think you might know what you're doing, you know? Well, I do. Well, I wanted to ask you, Adia, since the time, because I haven't spoken with them, obviously, since then, but since the time, have you gotten any feedback from them now that they've had a chance to digest it a little bit?
Yes, definitely. I mean, mostly right now they are in that excitement and anticipation phase of waiting until all of their assessees have had the opportunity to have their individual sessions so that they can now partner with their people and get them on the same page with where they're going as a ministry. So there's that excitement there once, you know, they have the opportunity to sit down with us and get an overview of all the results. Now it's the privilege of watching their team, you know, go through their individual sessions and seeing how they can get everybody on board with the same vision. So that's where they are in the process right now.
Oh, that is exciting. And, you know, this is not our first time. Oh, you were going to say something else?
No, I was going to say I believe he is on the line, so I'm going to open up the line to Apostle Mark. Dr. Price, you can do your introduction.
Well, hello, Apostle Mark. How are you doing?
Good evening. Good evening, Dr. Price. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. Hey, I'm glad to get a chance to talk with you again. I'm glad you squeezed us in. We know your time is short, so we're going to get right to the point. We've been telling them a little bit about your organizational assessment experience. And so, did you turn off the sound behind you?
Yes, just one second. How's that?
All right. We just want you to take a few minutes to just share with our audience your experience with the organizational assessments and how you would recommend them for other organizations.
Okay. Well, thank you. First of all, I want to thank you, Dr. Price, for having me on the call tonight. It is such a privilege to actually reach out to your audience and just tell them firsthand what the assessment in PPM Global has done personally in my life and also in the ministry that God has us overseeing. The assessment itself is just phenomenal. We have a lot of different people coming through our ministry and building. We're in the process of building and establishing our ministry. We've been planted for 6 years, and there's a lot of things that's going on in our ministry that we're trying to get a handle on. And you know how in ministry you go through certain seasons of your life, and it's almost like you want to know, how do we get to the next step? You want to keep moving forward. Well, we got to a place where we were always searching and said, God, help us to mature and help us to get to that next level. And God planted PPM Global on our pathway, and we're so thankful for that, because with PPM Global, it allowed us to actually tap into something that we would not otherwise tap into. The assessment that you guys have is such a blessing to us, because, as you always say in your advertisement, it's not a test. It's an assessment. And one of the great things about this assessment is, you know, I like to say this. I've been telling people that I've been talking about the assessment at PPM Global. I said, listen, this is for serious inquiries only. If you're not looking to know and grow, then this is probably not the thing for you, because they're going to tap into some things and bring revelation knowledge to you, and they're also going to help you grow in the very things that God has called you to grow in and to move in. And so this assessment has been great for our ministry. My wife and I lead the church, and we took the assessment first, and then it just impacted us so much that we wanted our church to be a part of it. So we took a small group, and we had them to take the assessments. And I tell you what, just to be honest with you, it shook the church. It shook those who had taken the assessment, and it really shook them at the core, because a lot of the things that my wife and I had been telling them and a lot of things that they needed to know, this assessment brought it up. It just didn't, you know, a lot of times we take different things like this and we wanted to identify just gifts or spiritual gifts. But this assessment is different. It's not just identifying gifts and offices and spiritual gifts that you may function in. It's also, it's releasing a lot more than that. I mean, it's talking about some of the character that you have, the ethics that you have, you know, how you see and approach ministry, the mentality that we have toward the Bible. There's a lot of different, I think it's 22 categories that the assessment covers, and I just can't cover. I know you guys have done a wonderful job doing that, but there's so much that it covers outside of just the gift and spiritual gifts in your office that really helped us as a ministry identify some of the roadblocks, some of the resistances that my leadership had, the part of the ministry that actually took it that's in lay ministry, some of the roadblocks that they had. And this is not necessarily ministry, it's personal. It's in their own character. It's in the makeup, how they were raised. And, you know, we had some that were raised in Seventh-day Adventist, and we didn't think about, you know, how the doctrinal issues would actually change or influence their present life. But PPM Global, through this assessment and through the prophets and apostles that minister to our team, it began to pick up a lot of these different areas that ordinarily assessments and spiritual gift assessments, they don't pick up. So, I mean, we were able to identify a lot of different areas in the ministry, in the lives of those who are in leadership, my wife and I included, that really were things that we really need to focus on in this season. If I can borrow I think it's a statement by Truett Cathy, he's the owner of Chick-fil-A, and when Boston Market actually came on the scene and they tried to take market share from them with their restaurant, the executives at Chick-fil-A, they got together, and one of the things that they were focusing on, and all the executives, well, how can we expand? How can we grow? How can we maintain our market share? And true, Mr. Cathy, basically, he tapped on the desk until he had everybody's attention, and he said something that was so simple. He says, it's better before it's bigger. And in a ministry, we don't think about that. We always think about expanding, growing, how can we, you know, build bigger. But really, to really grow and expand the way God wants us to grow and expand, we have to get better. And it starts with us. It starts with looking internally. What are the things that's going on in our lives that's hindering us from moving in the call of God? What's the things going on inside of the team, inside of the leadership, inside of the church that may be a roadblock? Maybe it's not all negative, but maybe it's something that we need to overcome. And so that's what the assessment done to us. It's helping us to get better before we actually get bigger.
Well, that is powerful. Now, I know you only have a couple of minutes. Could you just quickly tell us, how about the leadership that took it? How were they responding? I mean, now they're over the shock and awareness. How were they responding? Are they motivated? Are they clear? Are they focused? What would you say?
They are, and I thank you for saying it, that after they got over the shock, because if I could also say this, that it wasn't just the assessment, but it's also the team that you have in PPM Global, the apostles and prophets, and their ability to prophetically tap into areas and dimensions of their lives that I think it led in the assessment, but actually God began to download you guys to help out. And some of our ministry team, we've had two or three meetings about the assessment since we had the advisements. And our team really is seeing a lot of different things that they need to do in this season to actually grow into the leadership team that they need to be. And that's one of the greatest things, because a lot of times, you know, you could be doing something for so long and you think just by doing the ordinary Bible study and, you know, you're meticulous about the things that you do that you're actually growing. But this assessment really put us, located us where we are and what we need to be doing objectively and subjectively to really move forward into maturity and move forward as a ministry to really be an impact into our region and our territory. So it's really blessed the leadership team.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and I thank you for taking the time out. Again, I know this was a little pinch for you, but we just wanted our audience to hear from someone who's actually gone through the experience from beginning to end and also how you're working with it as a result. So if your time is up, we're going to release you. If you have any final remarks you want to say before you go, please feel free to do so. But otherwise, I just want to thank you.
Well, I want to say, Dr. Price, thank you. Thank you for allowing God to use you for PPM Global. Thank you. All of you apostles and prophets have ministered to me, my wife, and the team on the ministry. But I want to say to the listeners, if you're really serious about growing, if you're really serious about advancing in the call and the giftings and even in ministry, what God has called you to do, this resource, PPM Global, is one of the things that you really need to look, be serious about taking the assessment to just to see where you are. And they have wonderful tracks, one, two, three, four tracks. I know my wife and I, we've been looking at them and whatnot, but they have some tracks that you can get involved with, and their prophets and apostles can lead you through that place, from taking you from where you are to where you need to be. And so, I can almost do an infomercial for you because of the impact that it's had upon us and upon our ministry.
Well,
thank you very much.
Oh, you're more than welcome, and we will be talking with you again soon. I know it, but thanks for just sharing this time with us.
All right. God bless you. Thank you so much.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, team, I have to tell you, because I know Prophet Adia, that is your account, I have to tell you, they are remarkable people, are they not?
Yes, Dr. Price, so remarkable. What a wonderful assessment and evaluation of the process.
You can tell that he really understood it. And again, you know, as I said before, we have these brilliant people who are doing brilliant things for God outside the church and want to do as brilliant a thing for him within the church as well. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back and just talk a little bit more with the team. I want to bring in Apostle Sally so she can let us know about her side, because that's a whole other dimension that we want to introduce tonight. So how about giving us a few messages, Ashley, and then we'll come back.
Are you a prophet or apostle? Is your desire to help God's ministers come into their true identity and calling? Would you like to make a supplemental income while still doing what you love most, serving God as His kingdom agent? Now PPM Global Resources offers an exciting employment opportunity for apostles and prophets. We want to employ you to do what God made you to do for Him. We work in the industry of ministry and want to bring the industry to your ministry. Imagine getting paid a regular income for doing what you already do. Think about doing more than prophesying or waiting for your next preaching opportunity to fulfill your calling. Now, PPM Global has created gainful employment positions for your mantle, just like pastors and teachers have enjoyed for ages. Sign up as an affiliate agent or independent sales consultant, and you'll be able to share PPM Global's unique ministry model with your associates and colleagues, and share the revenue PPM Global gains from your initiative. Or join PPM Global's team of advisors, coaches, and mentors, and take part in shaping the next generation of fivefold ministers for Jesus Christ. Wherever you sit, you'll enjoy the benefits of collaborating with PPM Global, including a means of increasing your contacts and income without increasing your workload, the opportunity to be a gainfully employed, bona fide apostle or prophet, the privilege of shifting the church back to apostolic and prophetic leadership, and the honor of placing God's people in their right purpose and destiny. Apply today, get trained, change lives, and earn more. PPM Global Resources. Explore the possibilities. Scandal, deception, secret affairs, misappropriation of funds, nepotism, promotion without training or experience. Sound like Hollywood or perhaps Wall Street? Unfortunately, this has become more and more commonplace in the body of Christ. As a result, many people have lost faith in their leaders and no longer trust those put in place to watch over their spiritual growth. It's time for God's ministers to take back the ground that has been lost and provide qualified, competent, verifiable leadership that His people can rely on. So what is the first step to making this a reality? The answer is ministerial credentialing. Credentialing attests to the qualifications, competence, or authority that a person has in a particular field. Diplomas, degrees, certifications, and licenses are all a part of credentialing. Though credentialing programs exist for pastors, teachers, and evangelists, there is very little available to properly credential apostles and prophets. Until now. Dr. Paula Price, New Era Apostleship Restitution Council, and Kingdom Embassy University present CLOCK, our credentialing program that stands for Certification, Licensure, Ordination, and Commissioning. Whichever is appropriate for your calling or area of kingdom service, we have a program for you. Get trained and receive a certificate of completion or achievement, a license to perform or function in a ministry capacity, ordination to a designated ministry office, or commissioning to discharge an advanced professional ministry post. Take the first step today by going to www.ppmglobalresources.com and taking a ministry assessment questionnaire to find out where you fit and what kind of training you need. Be a part of the solution and make sure you are a leader that God and His people can rely on. Visit www.ppmglobalresources.com today.
So may I just interject that
sure.
For all of your listeners and for those who may listen later on the recording, I have taken your assessment. So I have to tell people it is crucial that you do that for yourself, that you invest in yourself to find out what God has placed in you, and that it is completely worth it. It is not just, you know, grandma's old spiritual gifts test, so to speak. It is in-depth. It is, oh my goodness, multiple layers, and it just opens you up to what God has placed in there. And then when you get the advisement on, now what do you do in terms of steps? So that's my promo.
Don't miss the annual Apostolic Summit with Dr. Paula Price. Join us for a weekend of explosive fivefold ministry training, apostleship branding, apostolic and prophetic collaboration, kingdom leadership, strategy sessions for the upcoming year, and so much more. If you are an apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, evangelist, ministry leader, or apostolic student, then this event is for you. You will enjoy a variety of dynamic speakers during both the classroom-style sessions and the general sessions, as well as personal ministry and prayer. Call now to register and reserve your place. Special discounts are available. Call 877-419-1299 for more information or visit www.drpaulaprice.com to register today.
And we are back with the Tuesday night Paula Price Show talking about the standardized ministry assessments. Dr. Price, welcome back. Part two.
Well, I'm glad for part two, and we had a blast in part one, I think. Wasn't Apostle Mark really, really effective in his talk? I thought he was inspiring.
Oh, yes. I tell you what, his people are some of my favorite people, and the impression and the imprint that they have left on their members' souls and spirits is apparent, because they all... Whoever's phone that is, you would need to mute that. Because they all carry his spirit. They carry their sound. And so to hear him talk is almost comical, because his people want to say, okay, what church are you from? And they'll say they're from their church. I'm like, yeah, I thought so, because they all have the same sound. Now, they don't sound like robots, but they sound like their leader. And I think that's probably the first positive sign to know you have the right people coming through the process, is because they sound like their leader.
And that's true. And he does have very strong people. And again, that's another privilege, another joy that we get from doing this. We are meeting the body of Christ around the nation. I mean, it's been a blast for us. You know, we don't travel. Well, actually, we do travel, but not as much as we used to. But we get the opportunity to meet the people of God and to see the handiwork of God, to see the leaders. I mean, it totally changes how you feel or what you would have surmised about the body of Christ when you see leaders like him, I mean, working with his people, digging into them, and the bigger picture, willing to invest. And that's what we've been meeting, leaders who are willing to invest in their people. Next week we'll have a couple of more, another apostle that we're talking to. We have them just they're just coming in now. These two seats have proven to be quite successful because they are making the point, and we're letting everyone know God is doing a new thing. And new can be good. You know, it doesn't have to be bad. And just because God is taking advantage of the time and the technology of the time does not mean that he's out of the picture or he's somehow overwhelmed. We're stunned, as you heard him say, about the prophetic aspect of the assessment process. We often don't talk about that, but there is that whole prophetic aspect. We have prayer, we have the prophetic, we have the apostolic wisdom and counsel. These people get a lot for this low price of $65 in assessment for every individual. I mean, that is a lot. They get counsel, prayer, and then, as he pointed out, the follow-up program, our post-assessment support system. We call it PASS, but we want to get you right into what God wants you to do. And so we have that to follow up. Listen to me, folks. This is a great tool, but it's not just a great tool. It's a complex of tools, a network of tools to get more than just information to you. We will take you from information right on down to readiness, right on into occupation of your calling. So we're excited about that. Now, we have someone else on the line tonight. I'm finally adding my other advisors, but we have someone else on the line tonight. We have Apostle Sally Chaney, who is the founder of Apostolic Worship Embassy here in Tulsa, and she's on staff. She's one of our advisors. And so we want to welcome her and let her talk a little bit about, A, the assessment process, and she can speak to both sides, so she can talk a little bit about the assessment process, talk about her training, and how she feels about what she's doing today as an apostle. Apostle Sally, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Hello, Dr. Price.
Hello, hello, hello. Well, I guess you heard all of the work I just put on your plate, so I'm going to let you run with it.
Okay. Well, first of all, I have loved the assessment process. I have now been a part of it, involved in it myself, and had to take the assessment for about 4 years back, and it has been extremely interesting. It's been great to be on the other side of the table and actually give results to those who have taken assessments, and it's been very rewarding because I've seen all the people that have been so blessed by getting their assessment results and knowing that at least 99% of the time they have told me it's 99% to 100% right. So I've been excited to know that the results have come back for them to let them know who they are and help them to get to their destiny. I was also involved in the assessment program when I was a pastor about 2.5 years ago. Our whole church took, just pretty much our whole church took the assessment, and those that took it were so excited about their results. They were excited to know that now that they have taken it, they now know who they are after taking spiritual gifts tests and all the other tests that are out there. They are excited now to see that, you know, they can go to their destiny without fumbling around anymore. They can decide they're not a pastor and know that they are a prophet, or to know that they really are a teacher or just a health minister, and that's still a good thing. So that process has been awesome. I'm glad to be able to be a part of it. I'm glad to be a part of the team. I have been very, very busy the last few weeks in being able to give the assessment to several people, and in that experience, it helped me to grow because I've learned more language regarding the assessment process, and now I'm excited about getting into the organizational part of it and traveling and taking this to several churches that I know throughout the U.S. that would love to have this program. I'm so proud of Prophet Adia and what she's doing, and just listening to Apostle Mark tonight, just getting those feedbacks of knowing how it's blessed his church. It's just a real encouragement for me to get me going where I need to go. So thank you, Dr. Price, for allowing me to be a part of this team, and being an apostle on board has been very rewarding as well, because I'm under the apostle program that Dr. Price has here in Tulsa, and learning a lot more to teach other apostles about credentials and being very credible. All of that is so important in standards when it comes to the assessment, because when you want people to come to be a part of your work that Dr. Price is pushing in these assessments for each church, if you want them to be a part of your work, you need to have credentials that are really legit. And like Dr. Price mentioned in the first half of the program, it's really important that we don't just make people a pastor overnight. I mean, we've done that. We've all been guilty of that because we didn't have this type of training. So I'm just running over with words because there's so much good in this. And as an advisor, I love these assessments, giving people results and seeing their lives changed.
Amen. Well, I'm glad I'm glad to hear you saying. So you said you're excited about getting on the road. Now, what is it about getting on the road for, that, as far as these assessment goals that so stimulates you? What is it that you feel you're going to make happen once you take this out? You've done well as an advisor, but now you're talking about including it in your itinerant ministry. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, actually getting on the road, because I do travel and I'm a singer and a teacher and prayer warrior, but I'm going to make sure that as I go and do these things, the traveling that I do to speak and sing, that I bring this into the ministries that I go into, because I know that a lot of the ministries that I do have an opportunity to impart to, they don't know of ways to help their churches to grow. And to me, this is a tool to help a lot of the churches that are trying to struggle to become more than just 10 people or even 500 people, that this is a tool to actually get them there. So I'm planning to every church I have any impartation with to take this tool with me, and I'm excited about taking it and letting them be introduced to it on the organizational scale first, and help them to become all that they need to be so that they don't have to stay stagnant anymore. We have too many people that are just dying and going to their graves and never knew that they were a prophet or an apostle. So we're losing generals. And so I'm excited about just letting people, their lives change, their churches grow, pastors and apostles that are over these churches, that they don't have to do it all by themselves anymore. I want to be able to pull the teams that we have here in PPM Global all over the world, wherever we go.
Wow,
so it's going to be good.
It is going to be good. And it's actually, you know, part of the, well, it was my long range, like way down the line range vision for the church, that these leaders, like I think about apostles and prophets who are often itinerant ministries, meaning they are on the road all the time, which is why I concluded that this would be another tool. I want to speak to those of you who are out there. If you're apostolic and prophetic, you're apostle and prophet, and we need that because of the intuitiveness of the tool. But I want to say to you, you're already counseling. You're already going from place to place trying to help people. You're speaking the word of the Lord into their lives. You're doing trainings and seminars, workshops, boot camps, and everything else that we can think of doing, all kinds of venues to help the body of Christ to fulfill Ephesians 4, 12 through 16, that we want to equip the saints. Yes, we do. But, you know, as time goes on, it's wear and tear on our bodies. It's costly. What if we can get the same or even greater results by working and using technology? You know, now you're going to have this virtual itinerancy. And that's what we do. We our clients are all over the country. We're not even localized in any particular area. We've got people who have taken the assessments from all over the world. And so we've had, you know, all kinds of people doing it. And we get a chance to change lives, answer questions, guide people through ministry, coach, mentor, pray, intercede. Apostle Sally has a whole prayer element that she does where she just has people to call her, I just want prayer. I just want you to, you know, just pray with me on this thing. Part of the program, you know, not the only part, but it is part of the program. But you get a chance to do all of that. And the other element is that we are better one by one. Sometimes one by one, you know, when you're talking to that person online, is a good thing. That's not the only good, the only best thing, but that's a good one. But what if you can, the same thing you're doing is what we're doing with a tool that, first of all, shortens the process. You don't have to give 57 different prophecies to try to get this thing working. And this, and the people can walk away enlightened, informed, and they can partner with you. They can take more of an active role in their development. Heretofore, much of what we do with people to develop them is often one-sided. We talk, we pray, we prophesy, we teach. Very one-sided. And so, and we go home and we walk away and we just assume that it's done and Lord does the work. But, you know, this is a different generation. People are dynamic. They're active. They're smart. They're educated. And they want to be a part of their development. And this tool helps them. They get a document on their email. They can sit down and read that over and over and over again. And trust me, people tell us they read it over and over again. They don't just get a document. they also get an audio recording of what they learned, of what was said, how it was said. They get a chance to listen to that. And it's not a 3 or 5 minute prophecy that you play 55 times and hope it works out, but they get a full 30-minute advisement that is tied directly to the results that their assessment spit out for them. It is all about them. And they can, from that point on, if they decide, they can go into, okay, well, I want to do this plan. We, as you said, we've got several tracks. You can go from, I want better training, I want personalized training, I want tutorial development, I just want somebody that's going to be there with me for me to bounce things off of once a month. However way you want to do it, we want to be a part of your success and your progress in God, because that's what God raised us to do. So if you're one of those people who say, gee, I know God called me to do more than this, I know that there has to be a better way, or you're trying to say, you know, God is calling me off my job, and how am I going to make a living? I don't even know how I'm going to do it. Or if, you know, I'm graduating from school, and what do I do next with this or that? This is one tool that you should explore. Now, the process, we do have a process, you know, as you know, but for those of you who are compatible with this, who feel a call to it, you've got to call us. You've got to find out if you are one of those who's slated to be our next training class. I think this is an amazing tool. I know for me, when I first started out, I would have loved having this. This is great for the seasoned minister, and it's also great for the person who has been working and ministering part-time. You've been at it for a while, but you feel like God's calling me to do this full time. This is one avenue that you can explore. That is what I would encourage you to do. So I think that is great. I wanted you to talk, Prophet Tyler, would you talk a little bit about the organizational demos that you do? You absolutely love doing them, so I'm going to give you the privilege of talking about them.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. There we go. Got to love the phones that go to sleep on you. Okay. But, yes, the organizational demo, I enjoy doing them, an opportunity to do it again for another ministry that's looking at bringing us in to help them settle some things in their church out of Connecticut. And the number one thing that does inspire them to want to take to do the demo is really because they're in need of transition, and they're looking for direction. They're wanting to change. They know that God is calling them to either, as for some that I've done the demo with, they're stepping away from some things that they have, you know, traditionally been connected to for years because God is shifting their ministerial focus. Others are starting fresh, and God called them to move to a territory similar to what happened to us, and they're looking to start fresh and want to pull together the right team. And then others are just transitioning. Their church itself is transitioning. And so they're ready to step into some things, you know, particularly with understanding what's going on with the fivefold in the church right now, because there's a lot of language and slogans and info passing around about that right now, but a lot of people don't really have their hands around what it means and how to integrate that in their church in a safe way. In fact, my demo today put me in mind of, you know, one of the events that you had done before about preserving your members through the change. This ministry out of Connecticut wants to be able to do that. They want to preserve their members through the change. And so today we had an opportunity to walk them through the demo. They had a chance to see how our organizational assessment works, how it would benefit them, and how it would directly answer some of the needs and concerns they had about building. This building during this season of their ministry. You know, I think the quote of the night for me with them was, I made a lot of mistakes my first go round. This next go round, I don't plan on repeating those mistakes. So I want to start off with a tool and something that can help me, you know, get ahead of it and really help me to make some decisions and to go about things differently. And I think that we're seeing a lot of that happen in this season of the body of Christ, people wanting to get it right and wanting to do things differently and not just kind of resort to osmosis to make it happen, especially if they've already experienced the fallout of that. So I was very excited to walk them through that experience, to show them what's all involved, under the hood of the assessment, particularly the organizational, because what I like about the organizational is that it really does focus on the survival, the thriving, and really the call of the organization itself. And so we talked a lot about that tonight, and what they could receive from it, what their results would look like, how comprehensive the results would be, the types of things that could possibly show up in their results, why those things are necessary, and what they could possibly do with that information once they got a hold of it. And then, of course, talking about options, post-assessment options, which we haven't talked much about here on the call, but, you know, the question was asked, now that you've awakened, you know, Apostle Mark brought that up too when he was speaking, that it shakes up a few things. And the question was, now that we've awakened all of this in our midst, what happens next? What's the next step? And how can we really reap the benefits or the fruit of what the assessment is about? And so we offer great post-assessment services, too, that after we do the organizational assessment with you, we will partner with you through the process of helping you implement this information. And so we don't just kind of fade off into the back, drop off, or send you back into the prayer closet. We sit down and we strategize ways and plans specifically for your house. You know, Dr. Price, you talked about earlier, knowing what's best for your people and the assessment, pulling that out. And that's one thing that's great about our post-assessment support services is that we work with, you know, because we have these results in front of us, we work with what's going to be best for your people. And so we talk about methods and plans and avenues of training and outlets of training that would be great for them and that would be the most conducive for helping you as a ministry reach your goals and your potential and stepping into your destiny. What they love about it is the specificity, because they get to walk away knowing something very particular about their organization. They like the fact that it's not a cookie cutter thing, you know, and that everybody's just kind of this and we give blanket anything. They like the fact that their organization gets to take on this whole persona, if you will, and becomes a living dynamic that is comprised of beings and people all moving and heading in a particular direction. And so they are very excited about doing it, and they want to be a part of taking the assessment, pursuing the organizational assessment, because they want to know that information, again, wanting to work with the core leadership team first and then have the rest of their ministry team come on board and take it and see what this is going to present concerning what their church type actually is. Very interested in wanting to know that and how their giftings fall. And the most important thing to this particular crew who is on the demo today is knowing who in their leadership team they can trust and who they can trust with what, which I thought was a very interesting thing. And that's what they're looking to get out of most of all from their organizational assessment results. So we're excited about moving forward with them. But I love doing the demos, and the demos do give us a chance to sit down and talk with you about your vision, where you're going, and how we can, you know, how you can take advantage of this very comprehensive and integrated solution for not just, you know, placing your people, but also speaking into your identity, helping you secure your foundation, figure out, again, where your church is going, where you want it to go, and how you can actually get there. You know, what resources you already have at your disposal, and most of all, preserving your church as well in the process of pursuing that.
And, you know, preserving your church is important, you know, because heretofore, if a pastor woke up or had a conference or something and found out that he or she was being elevated to the apostleship and, you know, thus say God, thou art an apostle, and whatever, you know, immediately, you know, because we love the Lord and we're zealous about whatever he wants, immediately we go pulling up, you know, we're going to pull up the floorboards, we're going to pull up the carpet, pull down the curtains, and we began to upset things. And people were, I mean, many of these churches suffered horrible bleed out as a result. And so then the other extreme happens when God says it, well, we're not going to, I'm going to ignore it. I mean, God, that's fine. You can say it all day long, but I'm going to ignore it. Why? Because there was no in between. There needs to be a bridge between what God has called you to do and how to turn your church. You know, it's interesting how when you think about a vehicle, whether it's a car, tank, truck, you know, it's a small wheel that turns this big organization. But it is a small wheel. And so even though the wheel turns rather easily, it's easily handled in the driver's hand. The vehicle, whatever it might be, still takes time to turn. And you've got to measure, you've got to make sure it can make the turn. You don't want it to topple over, to cause an accident. You don't want to lose control. Well, that's how an organization is, you know, which is one of the reasons why when we think of leadership, when Paul talks about, you know, we often talk about the under rower, in the Greek it's the hypertes, the under rower that's a leader steerage. It's that person who's steering. Well, yeah, it can, the ship can turn with one person turning that wheel, but getting the whole of it around safely so that everybody is intact, that takes planning, that takes experience, that takes eyesight, that takes, you know, measuring. There's a whole lot that goes into that. And many times when people come in and decree that we're an apostolic church today or a prophetic church today, we got all of these people who didn't come to us for that. They didn't come to us to be an apostolic or prophetic church. They just came for a little more information, a little more Jesus, maybe a little more relaxing of the move of the Spirit or whatever. But they didn't come to go and be something that they've been programmed of most of their Christian life to think is either dead or heretical. So let's be very careful. That's what our group organization does as well. First of all, we are able to tell you whether or not that prophet just picked up something that they saw in the moment that doesn't travel all the way down your ministry life, or whether you indeed are becoming an apostle. You know, and if you are, then we work with you in a way to help you turn your entire organization into what God wants and losing as little as possible. We are for none, but come on, change is change. But to keep the best of your people and to make them, to help them cooperate with you and not drive them into panic. You know, there's a reason why we're sheep, because sheep panic. And when we panic, we immobilize, and then when we finally get released, we scatter. And so that is something that we consider here at PPM Global. We put a lot of attention into that even as we deal with our organizations. In your next meeting, you know, it's nice that Prophet so-and-so said you're going to be an apostle or you're going to be a prophet or whatever, tell your people goodbye and all of that. That scares sheep. You know, we all did that because we didn't know any better. But sheep, they don't hear that like that. That scares sheep. Don't tell my people goodbye, because if I've got to leave them, let me tell them how I'm leaving and let me prepare them for it. If I'm going to move up and all of that kinds of stuff, and we do it because it's sensational and it's whatever. But it's time out for that. You know, sobriety is where God is going today. We are moving into, in the body of Christ, a period of sobriety where we're no longer intoxicated with the power, the move of the Spirit. We're no longer so enthusiastic because God breathed that we want to tear up everything. You know, we don't have to sprout wings and fly around the congregation any longer. We can be mature. We can do it. And we can stop treating church like it's a baseball game or football field. We can really be mature. Sobriety is where we're going today. And in order to do that, there has to be some new methods, new tools. The standardized ministry assessments, they are one of those new tools that God is using today. You've got a lot that you can learn about your people. You don't have, you can, first of all, you no longer have to go it alone. But you also don't have to stab in the dark. If we do dark now, it's because we choose to. Because, I mean, we have an internet that you can just key in anything you want to know. Anything. You want to know what the model of your sneaker is. You key in that sneaker, they're going to tell you what the number is and all of that. That's how much information is prevalent today. It just doesn't stand to reason that we as the church, the body of Christ, who is the logos of creation, are devoid of information or accurate information or intelligent information. It doesn't make sense that we who are born of the logo of creation are illogical. That just doesn't make sense. And that's what God is doing. We're talking about going into sobriety. Now we're going into logic. It's not enough to say, well, God will just help brother make it. God is not going to come down here in the flesh and do that off his throne. He's going to come, he's going to get in your flesh for you to do it, for you to make your people who you want them to be. So I'm thrilled about that. I really am. Ashley, you have a group that you're working with too, and we were talking earlier about how amazing these people are. You know, well, you know, with discretion, you want to talk a little bit about these people that's coming out of this group and how impressive this leadership is.
Oh, absolutely. It's true what you say, well, what the Word of God says, that you will really know them by their fruit. And the first place you see that in ministry really is in the people that are under the leaders. And so with this ministry, the word is spreading in the church about the assessments. And so only the prophets were required to do it, but now more and more people in the congregation, because of the positive results and the shocking results, are deciding to take it too. And so it's kind of rolling around, I guess, and the word is spreading. You need to take this assessment to see who you really are. And I have, from this ministry, from other ministries, have spoken to people who are pleasantly surprised of where they are in their ministry walk. And I have some that are actually surprised that they aren't where they thought they were, but they have a plan to get there. And the assessment really shows how you are either promoted, and it's showing the people how they are have been promoted on their gift expression versus their actual readiness evaluation. So this other church, the leadership is just blown away by the results, that there's not one person that the results have not pegged. In fact, I spoke to a gentleman from the ministry, and he said, who took the assessment, and I did his advisement, and he said, these results are not 99% accurate. They are 100% accurate. The things that they revealed, if you are a new convert, it can show up in your results and the things that you're lacking in versus somebody who just does not like to study. All of it shows up. And so those are the comments that we've been getting from both these ministries, primarily sending their groups through, about just the absolute shock and, I quote, chagrin of the accuracy of how, okay, so there's not one type of person that these results cannot peg, not one. The one gentleman said, nope, I knew if there was going to be a breakdown in the assessments, it was going to be with this person because this person is just a difficult person to figure out, period. And bam, nailed it, praise God. And they were just really shocked by that. They were already a believer in the process, but it just took them over the top. Because like you said earlier in tonight's show, leaders know their people. You know your people. And so even when the people are sometimes shocked, the leaders usually are not, unless it's a leader who is insistent on having their way and refuses to listen to what people are telling them. Sometimes the people are saying, I don't want to be in this position. I can't be in this position. This really isn't me. And the assessment will show, actually, that really isn't them, and this is where they should be, and it's okay because that's just not how they're made. And so we've had all the variety show up. We've had it all. And I can't say we've had it all. We've just had new. And with the more groups that we've had come in, I have seen, Dr. Price, these results pop up, new things that I have never seen in 4 or 5 years, the particular combinations. And I'm like, wow, so tell me a little bit about yourself. Okay, that's really you. It's in there. I'm thinking, how is it humanly possible for a brain to even put this in there, to think to put it in there so it would even show up for this type of person? I usually go through that about once a week. Going through the results, I'm like, man. So a dictionary just wasn't enough, was it? You just had to write some assessments.
Well, and you know, the wonderful thing is God wants us to get it right. And most of his people, as you said earlier, they want to get it right. People are not trying to walk out of step with God. You have a few folks that say, you know what, I'm sorry, this is who I am. You know, God, you deal with it. But by and large, we found out most people want to get it right. And I'm happy to be a part of helping them do that, helping them get it right. The whole network works, and God wants to help his people find their way. He wants the leaders to be able to fulfill vision. What's the point of giving somebody vision and they can't fulfill it? What is that all about? And so that's thank you, Lord, that's not our God. But I will say this to you. I too, have found the amazement of the people. You know, people that you even think you know. I mean, I've had people who know us and who know me take it, and they're stunned. And they do it to find out that this thing is done. There's no manual scoring. This thing is electronically scored. We don't touch it. We just dump it down from the Internet, and it does the work. And actually, you're right about the mix. We've been seeing some very interesting mixes show up. I remember when we first started it, I had my own purchase. You know, we all have our biases, and, you know, we have our biases, and then we get the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we all had our biases. And so I remember thinking, well, you're either this office or that office. I'm thinking, you cannot be both, you know, and I was flat out on it. I mean, I was adamant. And we started doing these assessments, and they started coming up. The people were hyphenated. They were, like, we got one this week, Apostle Prophet. When does that show up? I never saw that. But God, the way he designed it, the way he wants it to work, he's finding, and that's a really unusual person, because now we have the secondary gift of something else, and then you have that environment. So you, knowing who you are, and also understanding that what you feel and what people see could be two different things. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited every time we get a new development, a new batch, and we have been really, God has blessed this work. He has people taking it almost every time we go to sleep, we wake up, we've got more to do. And I love that. I love that part of it. So I would encourage all of you who have been with us this evening, if you haven't taken the assessment for yourself, again, just like the woman said, do it for yourself. You deserve that. If God has given you a way to know who you are in him and to know what he's done, how he's made you, what is wrong with that? You do it. You put your child in school, your children are assessed. You know who's smart. You know what you know which child is strong in math and what child is strong in English and what the other one is strong in science. And how about this one that's really good in athletics? We do that all the time, but how about you? You have already committed to God. If you're on this phone with me tonight, you're committed to God, because you know I'm committed to Jesus. So you know you're committed to God. You're committed to doing it this way, and you're committed to learning it. And much of the frustration that we go through, it wraps around us not being able to pinpoint, why am I on this planet? I can do this, but I can also do that. Well, this comes easy to me, and I find this fun. Well, I also appreciate doing this, and my goodness, whenever I stand up, this happens. Well, we don't have to walk around with all of these no-name blessings and these unnamed attributes that are working without our awareness and without our cognizance. What if we discovered those things and realized they not only had a name, they had a place, and not only did they have a place, they have a purpose, and not only did they have a purpose, but they also have a product, an end result that God is going after. What would happen if you had that? Now you can do it on purpose. And now you don't have to be even fall prey to people who give you errant prophecies and misdiagnose your calling or misconstrue how you're manifesting. What if you could say, you know what, that's not me. Now, just because you saw me do this really well, that doesn't mean that that's what I do all the time. Everybody, we all have incidental and supporting gifts and incidental abilities that we do in given situations, but that doesn't mean that that's our dominant call. So why don't you take the assessment for yourself and know that God, he who made you, is perfect. We are his handiwork. We are God's handiwork, and he is so pleased with what he's done. But he's more pleased when you know it, because then you can work with him. If you are a leader and you have a team, you know your people. Nobody is saying that you should take this because you don't know your people. We know God, too, and we know God saved us, but we still needed to read the Bible to see what that meant. You need hard something. We need something in this world. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Why don't you take and say, you know what, I'm going to at least get a demo. You may not even want to do it even after the demo, although I'm sure you will. But I want to at least get a demo. At least let me see what I'm saying no to. You're going to hear over the next several weeks voice and leaders and trainers and marketplace people and church members and whatever. We've got quite a few people who can tell you this works. This is not just me saying, oh, wow, look what I've done. This is oh, my gosh, God has done something great for his people. So we encourage you to do that. I personally encourage you to do it. And I want you to ask yourself, what am I working with? First of all, what am I working for? And then what am I working with? You know, what do I do with this young man who's so talented and zealous? What do I do with this young woman who won't even speak when yet I can see this greatness in her? What can I do with this team over here? Who are my intercessors? Who are my prayer warriors? Who are my prophets? Who are my business people? The intercessors, the assessment will tell you who your business people are. I know it's hard to think, but yeah, it will. Who are my best altar workers? You can have those answers, and you don't have to do trial and error for 6 months or 6 years before you get an answer. You can actually do it in a couple of weeks. You can find out who is who in your organization. And there's a nice little side revival element. You heard Apostle Mark say, oh, no, after my people got shocked, then they got over the shock. Well, let's talk about that for a minute. You know what the shock is? The shock is, A, knowing God knows you that well, B, knowing that your answers told that much about you, and C, getting some language, some verbiage to all of those instincts and sentiments that you've been feeling. So even that's a positive part of the process. But then you can know that. And what if you're going to do a change? What if somebody's come to your church and said, you know, the Lord says he's going to do something different with you, and your organization is going to be different. If somebody has come to your church and said that, come to your business and said that, come to your ministry and said that, you don't have to stab it in the dark. You can say, I'm going to take them up on that offer. I'm going to at least get that demo. But we're here every Tuesday because we so believe in this tool, but we've seen it. We don't even have to conjure up a ton of faith for it any longer. You know, there was a time we were like, okay, God, but this thing is taking on a life of its own, and the momentum and the dimensions that it's bringing into different people's lives, leaders' lives, is extraordinary. Every week we're excited. You know, we can't even express the joy that we feel of meeting these people. And that's something that the advisors have. So in my last few minutes, I am excited about the advisors. They get an opportunity to work that mantle in their office, meeting people from around the country, helping people find their purpose, find their destiny, know themselves. I mean, it just can't get any better. I don't know how it could be any better. I'm sure with God it is, because it's already exceeded our expectations. But I want to tell you, when we hang up, go to drpaulaprice.com and say, you know, I'm going to take an assessment. Or if you're a leader, go to drpaulaprice.com and say, I want a demo. Schedule me for a demo at least. Let me see what all of the fuss is about. What is all of the hype about? You want to know. And I'm convinced, by the Spirit of God, that you're going to be as excited as these people that you've heard tonight and as the people that you will be hearing in the coming weeks. And the reason we have the people saying it, because they are the ones who are experiencing it. It's their experience that counts, because when you take it, it is your experience that counts. And you're going to find that we have knowledgeable advisors. They're well-trained. Those who are in our training program, they're very serious people, but they're also seasoned ministers. So we're just enlarging, as you heard from Apostle Sally, we're enlarging their abilities and their capabilities. But you're going to find out when you yourself take it, you're going to find a little bit of a revival in your church. The people are going to be excited again. They're going to be energized and enthused, and there's going to be renewed vision and fervor, and that's when it gets good. And then you become the hero, because, hey, you reached out. You found something to help them find themselves. And isn't that really what it's all about for us as leaders? Isn't it what we're about as ministers, helping people find themselves, finding the God treasures in them? And that's what these assessments do. So, again, we're running out of time. We're going to close up with a couple of more messages. I want to thank you for all being here. I'll again give a special thanks to Apostle Mark Kelly. Thank you, team. You know you're great. And for all of you who listen, God bless you until we get together on Thursday on the Paula Price Show at 11 a.m. Call early so we can talk. God bless you.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time fee or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.